My guest at this time is Flemming Rose, foreign editor at Jyllands Posten, the largest daily newspaper in Denmark. He is the man who commissioned the cartoon depicting Mohammed, the founder of Islam, with a bomb in his turban back in 2005. The publication of that cartoon eventually led to massive Muslim protests and the deaths of over 200 people in those riots, as well as countless threats towards him. We want to get his reaction now to Sony deciding not to release the movie The Interview after hackers believed to be connected to the North Korean government threatened to conduct terrorist attacks against theaters showing the film. The film, of course, depicts the assassination of North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Mr. Rose is also the author of The Tyranny of Silence, How One Cartoon Ignited a Global Debate on the Future of Free Speech. And Mr. Rose, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
The theaters and Sony are worried, obviously, about the potential of violence and maybe some lawsuits. Others fear their actions threaten free speech and free expression. And there's great concern that this will be the tipping point and more intimidation will follow. What do you make of the decision of Sony and the theater chains to scrap this movie?
Well, I think it's a disaster. I think it's outrageous that Sony is caving into this kind of pressure, even though I understand that they would very much like to protect their people who are working for them. But basically, Sony is outsourcing the right to decide what is going to run in U.S. Movie theaters to a dictator in North Korea. That's the bottom line, and it's a slippery slope. I mean, if you give in to this kind of intimidation and threats, you will not get less of this. You will get more because you tell the intimidators that it works. It's a successful strategy, and so why should you change your ways? So I believe if this stands and if Sony upholds this decision, more will come, more will follow, and not only dictators in North Korea, all kinds of people who try to get their way using threats, intimidation, and even violence. I think it's a very bad decision, and I very much hope that they will change it at some point.
What was your thought process as you published the cartoon almost a decade ago? I'm sure you expected some criticism in response. What led you to decide publishing it outweighed the risks?
Well, at that time, I did not anticipate the kind of reaction that followed. In fact, only 3 months after the fact, I anticipated a debate within Denmark about intimidation and self-censorship when it comes to dealing with Islam. I did not anticipate this kind of reaction, but my thoughts had to do with how do you fight self-censorship? I mean, we had a children's book in Denmark about the life of the prophet, and the author went public saying that several illustrators didn't want to do the job because they were afraid what might happen to them. And that's the reason why I invited cartoonists of Denmark's Cartoonist Association to draw the prophet as they see him. First, to see, is it true that there is self-censorship when it comes to dealing with Islam? Two, if one person stands up, it's very easy to silence him. But if 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, and even 1 million do the same thing, it will dilute the fear. And you cannot go after 1 million people. And that's why I hope that Hollywood will unite around Sony. And in fact, I think that they should put it for free online, or they should call on every movie studio in Hollywood to do movies with similar plots.
Now, you mentioned just a moment ago, Mr. Rose, that you did not expect anything close to the response that the cartoon had. Once that larger response and even deadly response happened a number of months later, did you ever regret publishing it, or was the larger principle you've already explained still, in your mind, the decision was right in the first place?
I did not regret commissioning and publishing those cartoons. even though I don't think that a cartoon is worth a single human life. But the point is that other people think that way, that they are willing to kill for a cartoon. So it's their decision. People often say, you know, the cartoons that triggered violence or caused violence in the Middle East. I think that's a very unfortunate phrase. I mean, there were people who made a decision to commit violence. There's no automatic or mechanical relationship between publishing cartoons that cause offense to some people and committing violence. It's a decision that individuals make, and they should be held accountable for what they do.
Now, another movie company, Paramount, is telling theaters not to show its anti-North Korea film from 2004. Once the Sony canceled The Interview, some of these theaters wanted to play. It's kind of an animated puppet movie that's very critical of the previous North Korean dictator from 2004. And then Paramount told these theaters, no, you can't run that. We're forbidding you to do that, which seems a little bit reminiscent of the newspapers that were covering the controversy over your cartoon, but not actually publishing the cartoon when they did that. So what message does this send from this other studio?
No, it sends exactly the wrong message. Instead of standing up and showing the North Korean dictator that we will not cave in, we are just taking the next step in this wrong direction that will lead to, you know, what's the title of the book I wrote about this, A Tyranny of Silence.
Yes.
At some point, nobody will be able to say anything that will all cause some kind of offense. And if people feel they get their way when they threaten, when they are offended by something, this is an open-ended process that will end in a tyranny of silence.
You mentioned the tyranny of silence, and you've explained kind of the thesis of the book. I want to give you another minute or so to tell folks what else they'll find as you tell the story, not only about the cartoon, but how you then wrestled with the issue in the months that followed.
Yeah, I mean, I spent 5 years after the publication of the cartoons traveling the world and debating this, in places like Doha, Qatar, Jerusalem, Israel, in Europe, in Russia, in the U.S., all around the world, basically. And I learned that everywhere it's the same discussion. How do you balance free speech against, you know, other considerations? And that's why I came to the conclusion that this is a global debate, and we need a global solution. And I think that the global solution will be a global First Amendment. That, in fact, free speech is a fundamental right in any society, and it cannot be balanced by rights of religious sensibilities or of dignity or certain versions of history and so on and so forth.
Mr. Rose, we'll leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today. We appreciate it very much.
It's my pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Fleming Rose is the author of The Tyranny of Silence, How One Cartoon Ignited a Global Debate on the Future of Free Speech. He's the foreign editor at Jyllands Posten, the largest daily newspaper in Denmark, and he's the one who commissioned the Mohammed cartoon back in 2005. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.